Hello, everyone. How are y'all doing today? Great, amazing. I hope each of y'all are doing amazing, truly amazing today. And if not, I hope that the words that are heard today will work to instill a great amount of hope and inspiration. Shirley Collado has greatly inspired me and pushed me to work harder and think critically about everything. She has not only done this for me, but for the Ithaca College community as a whole. Her presence while at IC has seemed to reinvigorate students, staff, and faculty, and give people ideas of new beginnings, while knowing that their hard work is acknowledged and that each and every individual is both seen and considered. So with that, I hope that the same amounts of hope and inspiration are poured over you today. So please help me in welcoming President of Ithaca College, Shirley M. Collado.
Good afternoon, and thank you, Kayla, for that lovely, heartfelt introduction. You represent the best of IC, and she's been really nice saying good things about me, but I have to tell you, she's a major role model for me. She actually works in our office, and I've learned a lot from you, Kayla, since I've started IC, so thank you. So I love the idea of this gathering, and I want to provide my deepest thanks for you all allowing me to share a bit of me today with you in community and fellowship. It's an honor to be here, especially as the first Soup and Hope of the new year is held at the beginning of what will be a fabulous 2019. I also want to specifically thank and I'm so glad that we were able to do it in person here up front, but the members of the Soup and Hope Planning Committee. Thank you for extending the invitation, for doing the work that you do, and bringing people together. Before I begin my remarks, I want to pause and really just take a moment for us to recognize the enormous privilege of this moment, to express gratitude for the many blessings of being in this warm, comfortable space on a cold day, enjoying the warmth of food in our bellies, created with a lot of love and hard work, and to be here in fellowship in this historical space here at this great university at Cornell. We are incredibly fortunate to be sitting here, to be eating, to be next to our neighbors, and to be warm from the realities of winter in Ithaca. I actually think it's a really beautiful day, by the way. But this is really, the gratitude is important. Gratitude is a word that I have used and really have internalized in really profound ways throughout my life, particularly this past year and a half as I've joined the Ithaca community. I began my presidency, as most of you know, shortly after President Pollack started at Cornell in July 2017. And jumped in fully to the life of this town, this great city, and the vibrancy of South Hill. One of the things that I've been most grateful for has been the amazing and warm welcome that has been extended to us by this community, and I say us, my husband Van, who's not here with me today, but that we received as new neighbors, as new residents of this area. This community opened their arms to us, and quickly, I understood that Ithaca was not only a place where you could step into a really exciting new professional career, like the one that I have the great privilege to serve in, but really to be a place where I feel I can live and be my authentic self as a full person. I think that this is the hallmark of any strong community, and I'm very hopeful for what we're able to do here, and we have some work to do in Ithaca, New York. but really, really grateful that there's a certain magic that happens and gets ignited in places like Ithaca, when people are encouraged to express themselves, when people are encouraged to be fully with their neighbors, in their neighborhoods, and in their professions. This intentional space that you created today is evidence of the readiness that I feel and have felt since I've gotten here about really what it means to be in the company of other people, especially when they might be very different from you. It's equally as critical that the kind of environment that we're extending here in Ithaca and that I have felt is the one that we intentionally work for relentlessly on our campuses for our students, for our faculty, and our staff to sustain a culture that really is rooted, truly rooted, in full participation, in equity, in inclusion, that's frankly, generally, deeply rooted in humanity. I know this is a big part of the culture at Cornell. I've learned that. And it certainly is a big part of our culture, and I would say the culture that we aspire to have at Ithaca College. Building a strong community can be difficult and challenging, and I think I am very sure that many of you can relate to that in a variety of ways. Perhaps here at Cornell, perhaps in your life path, in the neighborhood that you live in, particularly in our current national context. We live in an increasingly divided, contentious, and at times deeply inhumane society. In this climate, space for compassion, empathy, real dialogue can be difficult to find and to create. But that's exactly what I want to share with you today, because it's exactly what we must do for our neighbors, for our students, for our peers and colleagues, and certainly for ourselves. We must have the courage and fearlessness to lean into difficult conversations, to remember that our connection as human beings really is the work, the relentless work towards justice. My passion for social justice ignited very early in my life by my maternal grandmother, who demonstrated so clearly to me that being an activist, that speaking strongly, out loud, and clearly for what you believe in is necessary to not only your personal work, but your life's work, everything that you do, not something that should be compartmentalized at any moment, but something that should be activated and modeled. And some, you know, I actually had this conversation with Kayla, because some students sometimes think, you know, a college president, a bureaucrat, a member of an administration can't be an activist. Well, I'm telling you that activism needs to happen, regardless of partisan issues, regardless of your life's path. We need intentional movement for humanity and social change at every level, across every system, in every role. And really, for that to be about shared humanity. Thank you. So you all invited me to share a little bit about me, and I'm doing this while I'm being taped. And I'm with you in a room, so I am taking a leap of faith in this chapel, at the pulpit, just giving you a couple of connections of why this is so fiercely important to me, and as a psychologist, really believing and knowing that developmentally, how our stories, how hard they are, how amazing they are, shape us so critically in our formative years. My maternal grandmother worked in a factory with her daughters, my mother and her sister. She came from the Dominican Republic and never spoke English a day in her life. She transitioned to Brooklyn, New York, like many immigrants from the DR and the Caribbean, especially at that time period, to really thrive and survive and live a life after she had tragically lost her husband at a very early time in their marriage with two girls. My grandmother was also a nun until the age of 34 and fell in love. She fell in love with God, and then she fell in love with my grandfather. And she was a force of nature. And for Latinas growing up like me, it wasn't really common at all times to see a woman who was completely in charge of her whole life without the support of an incredible husband or partner. And my grandmother did this without domination of the language, with no money, with very little education. But she basically was a Latina, a woman, an immigrant, who saw no limits to the passion in herself and in our community. And it's so serendipitous and interesting that we're in a chapel, because my grandmother really did her activism through church and through the factory where she worked alongside many women at the time for hours on end. And so this was a time when immigrants were transitioning from her part of the world into the city. And like black churches in the South throughout the civil rights movement around political activism, our church really functioned as a refuge, as an area where immigrants could go to get the things that they needed to transition to their new lives in New York City, often undocumented, often without jobs and money. And so I lived in a two-bedroom apartment in Brooklyn where people constantly, an extended family, if you will, blood relatives, and then many more, who'd be in and out of our spaces, and we would be supporting them through their transition as immigrants. My grandmother taught me how critical it was to commit deeply to social justice, and how important it was to weave activism into all aspects of your life, that everyone matters. Her life lit a fire within me, an example of really what it meant to be an intentional person, regardless of the boundaries of culture, migration, and one's identity. That example was deeply shaped also strongly and brightly by my father. And I'll just tell you a couple of things about him that are pretty important for you to know. My dad drove a yellow cab, a taxi, in New York City for over 30 years. He has a fourth grade education from a little town in Dominican Republic called La Vega. And he worked on a farm until he was 16 and then came to New York. Worked in Times Square before Times Square was the Times Square that you see before you today. On a corner, Howard Johnson's, where Frank's, you know, frankfurters and hot fries and shakes would be sold all hours through the night, with lots of drugs and prostitutes in that area before it became the sensational space that it is today. And he cleaned toilets. He cleaned and then eventually moved up and cooked and did different things there until he really saw his American dream to be an owner of a yellow cab in New York City, a livelihood that is now completely destroyed, by the way, in New York City. And my father's work ethic for me was unparalleled. He had a brilliant mind. He has a brilliant mind. And one thing that I just want to tell you that's really interesting, you know, when people model culture, they show you things that really tell you so much about who they are and who their values are. And if you went into my father's cab any one of the 6 days and 14-hour shifts that he worked a week, his car was spotless. Didn't matter what time of day you went in, what kind of day he had, it was clean. And there was no partition. You know, when you sit in a yellow cab, often there's a wall between you, you know, a piece of plastic for issues of safety. My father not only every Sunday made us clean this car outside this apartment and make it very clean and tell us why that was important, but he refused to put, no matter how many times my mother told him, he refused to put that divider. And the interesting thing about that is when we would ask him, he literally would say, "I just don't want to feel like I'm everybody's driver. This is my business. I want people to feel good when they're in it. I want to be able to talk with them if they want to talk and connect with them. I want them to see my face." And so when I sat in that cab and when I cleaned it with my younger brothers, the many times that I did, I couldn't understand it at the time, but this was a man that was so proud of owning something, of leading something, and demonstrating that no matter what your role is in this society, how much money you make, how brown or black or white or whatever you are, regardless of your age, what country you come from, what language you speak, your level of education, okay? He reached the fourth grade. You can have integrity and powerful work ethic and model for people what it means to be an excellent human being that connects with anybody that gets in that car, regardless of who they are, no judgment. And I witnessed that for years, and it had a profound impact on me. My grandmother and my father and my mother all tremendously moved my life in a way that has deeply shaped my life and my leadership, my philosophy around servant leadership. Humanity, compassion, and courage can be found in anyone, regardless of their pathway in the world. And I think of them often. I often find myself incredibly grateful for their influence and for their example. And just as I watched them for cues as a young girl, I'm the eldest child, I'm the big sister to two brothers. I raised both of my brothers while my parents worked all the time. I'm a first-generation college student, and I am so grateful that I had that incredible privilege in this country because of my parents. And so for those of you here now who work in education or in any other area where you have a connection to young people in any capacity, I trust that you know that these young people are watching us in the same way, that very careful, close way that I watch my parents and my grandmother. They watch how we handle ourselves in tough spots. They listen to the words that we use when we communicate publicly and interpersonally. They see how we approach difficult moments or what happens when we go out on a limb around tough decisions. They look at how we handle ourselves in both our failures, and this is really important, in both our failures and our successes. They pay attention to who we are, even when they don't even know how formative that is for them in the moment. We have a great responsibility, I believe, in higher education and in the work that we do to model the humanity that we want our youth to reflect back to us. Their responsibility, this responsibility, is also a reminder of how important it is to be visible, to be accessible, to be courageous, and to be unapologetically yourself with your core values and your story, your lived story. And I know that some of us in the room may not have chosen the story that we were given, the path that we were given. But it is incredibly powerful, I think, for young, formative youth and students in the world to see how we grapple with our stories. And most importantly, the interconnectedness of our stories, the fellowship, the sitting closely together in the hard stuff. On February 22nd, the Board of Trustees at Ithaca College unanimously voted to appoint me as the 9th president of IC. I was on campus. It was a big surprise. People were wondering what the big announcement would be. And I, along with my dear husband, Van Jordan, we were there waiting in anticipation to meet this community that I had fallen in love with throughout the presidential search process. And like any big presidential announcement, many people wanted to come up and see me and talk with me. And this is my last very brief story because I have to end what I'm saying with students. And there were lots of students and faculty and staff and community members, friends from Cornell that came. Thank you to those of you who were there, who just came out of the woodwork to welcome me. But I had this moment where this group of young women came up to me, and they were walking towards me. It's a group of women. They looked like they could be any given years in their 4 years of college. Largely women of color, black and brown women. I imagined by looking at the group that it was a group of Latinas and African-American females who were part of the IC community. And they looked very nervous. They looked very nervous and very emotional. And one of them had the nerve up, and I'm giving them a big, warm smile. I'm telling them, come on over, let's talk, hi. And one of them said, just kind of in her shaky voice said, can I hug you? And I said, sure, I'm a hugger. And she comes up, and then the women around her, the young women around her, are all kind of giddy and laughing and nervous. She starts crying. And this other young woman starts crying. And then I find out that as she's talking to me, she has her mother on her phone. She has her Dominican mother on her phone, on FaceTime. And she had just heard, I guess, you know, through the grapevine, as the students were on social media, that the new president was Shirley Collado. And she came to the opening. She wanted to see me. And she's crying. And her mother's like on this FaceTime thing, crying and talking to me in Spanish. And I said, you know, you're crying. This is so great. Thank you. And I'm like, hola, mami. You know, ¿cómo estás? And I'm talking to her. And they're hugging me. And she just said to me, I had no idea that our president could look like me. And it was really in that moment where, you know, when you do this work, you do the work because you care about students, and it's hard work. But there are these moments, you know, and I really take to heart, and I'm very, as gracious as you saw, as Kayla was as she came up here. A big value for my family that I grew up with is being humble, being grounded and modest, and never forgetting where you come from, regardless of who you are. And treating people with respect, regardless of where they come from and what their story is. And so I do that, I think that way. I was not thinking how big of a deal it was to this group of young women to be able to come up to me and hug me and have their mom on the phone. It was a moment where I was really taken back with my husband not too far from me, supporting me, kind of looking at me, just in love with the moment. And I am the president of all IC students, not just Dominican students or first-generation students and students who might relate to my story. But I can't take for granted for a moment the kind of modeling and magnitude that we represent for young people when they find themselves connected to some part of us and what that means to them. Because I know I went through college, through graduate school, with no one who mirrored my experience. And I went out and find them in other places. So it was a moment for me. I was overwhelmed with emotion. I was already in love with IC. But that moment had a profound impact on me. And it really shaped for me the level of responsibility that I and my senior leadership team carries in modeling humanity and actually giving an opportunity for people to know who you really are. Not just the bureaucrat, not just the person with the big fancy title, but really, who are you? Who are you? And giving students permission to share that in real form with each other and with us. So I want to end my remarks by asking all of you to remember the centrality of young people in our community and how you intersect in their lives. Not just the students at Ithaca College or Cornell University or TC3, but the young people in our entire community. We must commit to setting an example, to modeling gratitude, grace, faith, and especially when you have to do it under pressure, when you have to do it publicly. We must commit to being bold enough and present enough in the busyness of our lives to live and lead with authenticity and courage. And that means sometimes being imperfect and being human and learning, right? We signed up to be in education, so isn't lifelong learning what we always, you know, are committing to? And we're asking our students to take chances all the time. We must commit to embracing our mistakes and our messiness, to honoring our individual journeys by actually sharing them. And we must commit to understanding that our journeys don't only speak to our individual existences, but they connect us in such a powerful way to our communities and to our shared humanity. I hope that just this part of my story and my remarks today resonates something in you around the centrality of being fully present and being yourself, even when you're not that happy with your story or the story that people are putting on you. And I will tell you, as a college president, people put stories on you, right? But it really is about, what are you modeling? What are you doing? And my husband, who is an incredible poet and writer, he always says to me, it's kind of crazy when he says it because he writes, but he says, "Shirley, actions are so much more powerful than words. Words matter, but what you do every day and get up to do every day really is what has a profound effect on everybody." So I want to thank you for this space. It's such a gift to be here, especially as we go into 2019. I hope it's going to be a great one. And please know that you have friends on South Hill and at Ithaca College, and we are deeply committed to this entire community. I hope that my comments have given exactly what Soup and Hope wanted, hope, and a lot of courage.